As we heard this past week and really all through the presidential primary campaign on the Democratic side, Medicare for all and having government control as much of your health care as possible supposedly is the way to go. This concept isn't the revolution, by the way, Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren that some make it out to be. It's been the standard in Canada, among other locations, for quite some time. How's it working for the people of Canada? Well, here to examine this health care in Canada reality, which, well, depending on who wins the 2020 election, may just offer a look into the future of healthcare for America, is the Director of Policy Communication at the Institute for Policy Innovation, Aaron Humiston. Thanks for being here today, Aaron.
Hello, Chris. Thank you for having me.
And the website for Institute for Policy Innovation is ipi.org. Before we get into the piece that you wrote, and we've linked to it over at our website as well, issuesandideasradio.com, When you hear about the utopia picture that Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren paint, can you find any basis for strength or concrete support for it? Or is it just a theory waiting to implode in everyone's face?
Sad to say, Chris, it's just a scam. It's a lie. When Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren say they want Medicare for all, it would dismantle Medicare as we know it in our country, a program that most seniors are in and enjoy, and it replaces it with a top-down government nationalized care rationing system that we do not want here. And when Obamacare was passed in 2011, the Institute for Policy Innovation predicted it would only be a matter of time that Obamacare itself would wreak so much havoc on the health insurance market and priced families such as my own, I have three small children, out of the market, that Democrats would come back to the American people and say, see, this is why we need single payer. And so that's exactly what's happened. And so when they advocate for Medicare for all, it's just a scam.
And as part of Obamacare was the expansion of Medicaid, which, surprisingly enough, then Republican Governor Chris Christie embraced. And what we've seen as a result of that in New Jersey is New Jersey physicians are receiving the lowest Medicaid reimbursement to the point where some physicians say, we're not taking any Medicaid patients anymore.
That's right. In every government program, there is rationing. And you see that terribly in Medicaid, in the VA. And so Medicare for all would just be a single-payer system that rations care even more for everyone.
Aaron had recently written a piece, which has been picked up in quite a few outlets, entitled ALS Patient Chooses Suicide in Canada's Single-Payer Paradise. And this is a tragic story of Sean Taggart, who needed 24-hour care because he had amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which is a fixed plateau of what abilities and capabilities you are going to lose and the amount of care you're going to require, be mandated because of your affliction, because of the progression of the disease. And the Canadian medical process, I guess you can call it a conveyor belt, just basically said, no, we can't give you that.
That's right. It's a very tragic story. Sean Taggart, diagnosed with ALS 6 years ago, he was a single father, and his doctor said that he needed 24-hour care. And Sean desired this to be in-home, you know, palliative care, as it was a terminal illness. And the Canadian healthcare provider for him, Vancouver Coastal Health, simply said, no, you can have 15 hours a day, but no more. And it left Sean to cobble together the funds and the equipment that he needed to fill in the gaps. And that was about $8,000 a month out of his own pocket. And that further shows you're not insulated from having to self-fund the cost of your care in these, quote, single-payer utopias. And so the week that Sean finally died, the healthcare provider actually showed up to his house to announce a further cut in funding for his care. And that by that point, he had battled for so long against the government and found his situation so bleak that he chose to end it by physician-assisted suicide, and that's just horrific.
Which is, by the way, now something we're seeing wind up on the laws of many states. New Jersey, for example, or they tried, but then it got pulled back. But many other states are making that as an option. This sounds morbid, maybe even insane, but Is that a concept of self-medical assisted suicide? That's a policy, a program, a entity like the Canadian healthcare system would actually say, good, that takes some of the load off of us then.
It's ghoulish to think about, Chris. You're absolutely right. This has been going on in Canada for several years, and it is the dark underbelly of their system. That program in Canada is called MAID, Medical Assistance in Dying. They advertise this on billboards and in emergency rooms across Canada. So just imagine that you're a patient and you go to an urgent care room, and while you're waiting for hours, you know, to see somebody for whatever it is you've entered in there to do, you get to look at these ads for euthanasia the whole time. And so it just brings us back to this point: for the terminally ill, if you deny the care a patient needs, sadly, it is not surprising at all when they just ask for euthanasia. How can you avoid a socialized healthcare system with legalized euthanasia? How do you avoid them not viewing terminal patients as people that just take up money and resources to prolong their life that other patients in the system therefore don't get? There's only a set amount of dollars in these systems. And so where do you think that they're going to spend the money?
I'm thinking of Sean Taggart, who, as we said, was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And first thing I thought of with what happened to Sean, imagine if Stephen Hawking, who also had ALS, by the way, instead of living in England, lived in Canada and was subjected to the same mistreatment by the Canadian healthcare program. What a loss for science that would have been.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking about the dignity and the sanctity of every human life. And in a single-payer system, the government inserts itself into the doctor-patient relationship, and now your care is determined by political or arbitrarily set budget amounts. And this is not what we want here.
So with Aaron Humiston, who is the Director of Policy Communication at the Institute for Policy Innovation, on the website is ipi.org. She recently wrote a piece entitled ALS Patient Chooses Suicide in Canada's Single-Payer System, Payer Paradise. There's a sarcastic comment, if ever there was one, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm applying logic to this whole idea, which may be my biggest mistake, but cost requires a budget. A budget creates two options. You either limit your spending to stay in the budget, or you go out of your spending limits, and sooner versus later you create a financial failure. That latter is more likely with these medical systems than the former, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's just the sad truth of single-payer healthcare systems. We cannot allow the government to creep into the doctor-patient relationship. If you think that maybe your health insurance provider here, you know, with all of the problems we have with our own system here in America, the battles that we have with health insurance, imagine if that wasn't health insurance, that was the government saying, you can't have this service, or it's going to take you months. As the Fraser Institute has measured every year, the current waiting time in Canada for medical treatment, the average is 20 weeks. That's 4.5 months. And there are stories of patients that discover possible tumors waiting in line to see doctors or specialists. And by then, their tumors have grown so much that then it becomes a stage 4 kind of situation. That's not something we can have here.
It should be a wake-up call for the Canadian medical system. If you tell them, you know what, you're making the Veterans Administration look good in how they handle patients.
Yeah, absolutely. And the VA has been around for about 100 years, and I don't see it winning any prizes here. So when Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders get up and tell us how great single-payer is and how we need Medicare for all, beware. They are not talking about Medicare. They want to dismantle it, and they want to give us a top-down government-rationed healthcare system.
Or they're thinking usual government process of thought, for lack of a better phrase, because they don't operate like a business. It's spend first, get the money to pay the bill later. Can't pay the bill? Well, we have to do some cuts then, it looks like.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And for terminally ill patients like Sean Taggart in British Columbia, who ended his life tragically in August, terminally ill patients just don't have the time to spend in waiting lines.
Indeed. The article again is ALS Patient Chooses Suicide in Canada's Single-Payer Paradise. You can read it and learn more about the work of the Institute for Policy Innovation at their website, IPI.org. We've been talking with the Director of Policy Communication, Aaron Humiston. Aaron, thanks so much for bringing this reality into the light. And hopefully next time people hear universal health care, any health care paradise proposal, that they'll say, well, explain the details first, and then maybe I'll consider it, instead of just blindly saying, boy, that sounds like a wonderful idea, and then wind up getting a rather cruel wake-up call later. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you, Chris.